The views and opinions of shows on KCNR are those of the hosts, guests, and callers only, and do not necessarily reflect those of the staff, management, or advertisers of KCNR Radio.
Yes, it is us, We the People Radio, flying by the seat of our pants yet again. You are joining Elizabeth Woodward, Mr. Mark Kent from Sovereign Minds, and Bob Martin, our wonderful producer and sound engineer. Good morning, guys.
Good morning.
Good morning, Elizabeth.
We are sans Aaron Ryan this morning, and like Rush Limbaugh always says, for those of you in Real Linda, that means without.
All right. And but, we do have Ruth on the other line. Shall we take a break? And
yeah, and we're coming back. We're going to talk about everything regarding the importance of elections, voter frauds, voter statistics, the whole ball of wax. We're going to be with Ruth Weiss of the Election Integrity Project from Southern California. Really looking forward to that. Grab a cup of coffee. We'll be right back.
You're listening to We the People on AM 1460 KCNR, the home of Free Fire Media.
Hear us streaming 24/7 on KCNR1460.com.
What the games people play now, every night and every day now, never meaning what they say now, never saying what they mean. While they while away the hours in their ivory towers, till they're covered up with flowers in the back of a black limousine.
We're back. You're joining Elizabeth Woodward, Bob Martin of We the People Radio, and Mark Kent of Sovereign Minds. And by the way, Sovereign Minds airs every Saturday morning, 8 a.m. on KCNR 1460, the Free Fire Media. And I just wanted to tell you folks that it's really easy to follow along with every guest that we have. If you go to wethepeopleradio.us, we've got everything about today's guest and all of our previous shows archived. You can click any one of those links and email that out to everyone you know. We are all about fiscal responsibility, limited government, and adherence to the Constitution in anything and everything that falls underneath that umbrella. So I'm going to quickly get to our guest. I kind of kept her hanging there a little longer than I intended, but I hope that the first 30 minutes of the show was worth it. We're talking with Ruth Weiss of the Election Integrity Project. Ruth, are you in there?
Yes, I'm here.
Thank you for waiting. It took a little longer than I thought, but I hope you were able to tune.
Interesting. Thank you.
I hope you were able to tune in and hear what's going on in Denver with the Tea Party.
Thank you.
With the Tea Party Patriots. So, you and I have talked a little bit over the last couple of days about the Election Integrity Project, which is in Southern California. And I thought because we've got time, we can build a little bit of a foundation. Your father was a history teacher, so you grew up with a real love and appreciation of U.S. history, and you consider yourself to be a Reagan conservative and as well as a Tea Party member. So tell us a little bit about you, and let's segue into why you started the Election Integrity Project.
Well, I think there's not a whole lot more to say about me other than what the bio says, that I was a dedicated high school teacher, taught English and Spanish for 34 years, and frankly was so busy being a teacher and raising a family that I didn't have time to really pay that much attention to politics. I knew it was important to vote. I knew it was important to try to be an educated voter. But, you know, my education was fairly limited, and only after I retired did I find the time to start getting involved. And the more that I learned, because I had the time to learn it, the more I realized that people need to be active. People need to be more responsive to the responsibility of being a citizen. And I learned late in life, and I'm hoping that some of the things that we do can help other people recognize that you need to find time in your life for this all the way through your life, not just after you retire and have more time.
Ruth, are you on a speakerphone by chance? Ruth?
Yes, I am. Is this better?
Oh, that's much better.
Oh,
yeah.
Yes.
Okay,
there
you
go.
All right.
So, and I think that's a really common theme, especially with the Tea Party movement, is most of us, we're really busy raising families, volunteering in our communities, living our lives. And as much as we understood that, you know, the political framework certainly is important, most of us really never got involved in it. And then when we saw, the erosion of our personal rights on steroids, we knew we had to jump in and get involved. And I think we've all recognized that this is going to be a lifelong battle and commitment on our part. So is that what drove you to start the Election Integrity Project?
Well, it really is. The Election Integrity Project, and let me correct one thing you said, this is a statewide organization. It is one of a family of organizations throughout the nation. So we coordinate and mentor one another and help one another. We actually have 33 states now involved with organizations similar to ours. And ours was not the first one to be created, but state by state, since the elections are pretty much run by at the state level and each state's election code is different, you have to address this at a state level. But there are things that we can do to support one another so that we're not all starting at ground zero. And that's what's happened over, well, starting in 2008, but most of the organizations such as ours began after the 2010 cycle. And we got involved after 2008, kind of got involved in the political process for many of us for the very first time in our lives, suddenly realizing that maybe just voting every 2 years wasn't all there was to being a responsible citizen. So we got involved. We worked on campaigns, and we walked precincts, and we, you know, staffed phone banks. And in experiencing the system and the whole electoral process from the inside led us to see things that, you know, are kind of disturbing, and what some of the weaknesses are, what kind of the holes that are there to make sure that the election process is completely honest. We saw some real difficulties there, as did people across the nation, and that led a group of people in California after the 2010 cycle, in which they had been so involved, led those people to realize, wait, there's something fundamentally in need of integrity here that's missing. And so they got together and they began the Election Integrity Project in California, realized that they weren't alone, that the kind of the mothership of the whole thing is True the Vote in Texas, which had begun 2 years before that. And so they had a lot they could teach us and mentor us, and we were able to come on board a lot more quickly because of their tutelage. And so it's important for everybody to recognize that they might have an organization in their own state that they can tie into if they are not in California, and that they can do that through True the Vote, which will help them find the organization in their state.
And, you know, that's a really valuable thing for people to know, because even at our local level, we had an issue come up with our county registrar in that many of the ballots that were supposed to go to the military did not get sent out in time. And so they were not able to participate in the process as much as they should be able to. And, you know, we actually had a group of people that took the county registrar to task. It kind of ended up in the media, and we had our county registrar come and speak with our Tea Party group about how we can get involved as citizens and what mistakes were made. And it's kind of funny because she took full responsibility but really could not indicate what had gone wrong and how they can fix it, and other than citizens actually manning the county registrar's office and just watching to make sure it gets done.
Yeah, I think fixing it is the point. Yeah. I was going to say, I think the fix is the key word there. We want to make sure it's not fixed.
Yeah, there you go.
double entendre there with that word.
Absolutely.
No, when you talk about citizen oversight, that's really what we're all about. It's citizen oversight. Citizens realizing that this is a government of the people, by the people, and for the people. And we have kind of backed off on that by the people responsibility in our busy lives and in the chance to enjoy our freedom. And we haven't really tied into the fact that if we don't oversee the processes and that we don't take that citizen oversight seriously, then we lose that freedom, because now the government is not by the people. It's by a very small group that may have their own agendas for whatever reason. And we also realize that when a group of people, any people, are doing things and they're doing the very best they can, there are still opportunities for error and carelessness, and, you know, because we're all human. And so another set of eyes on every little part of the process, all the way from registration through the end of the vote count, is really significant, because when someone else is watching, an error or something that might otherwise slip through is going to get caught. And that's important, that we all realize that citizen oversight is the way to make sure that we maintain the integrity in the electoral process.
You know, have you heard about the, I have a question for you here. I watched a video the other day, and I can't put my finger on where it's at, where this guy was testifying in court with regards to the computer programs and how easily they are to skew to win elections. And I'm deeply concerned with that, because they've taken the if they can make a computer program that nobody can detect, that's going to decide the outcome of an election, whether it's on a state, local, or national level, you know, that's a huge concern. What can you tell us about that?
Well, I can't really tell you too much. I mean, it's an axiom, of course, that if you can imagine it, you know, you can do it. And so clearly working with, you know, skewing computers and things like that is certainly an avenue that someone who was really unscrupulous might want to take. We don't have any evidence of that at this point. We don't have any accusations to be made, other than that we just feel that we should keep our eyes open to all of the potentials for things to go wrong, and that citizen oversight is the way to do that. And the more that we get informed about the way the votes are cast, the way the votes are counted, the way the registrations are made, then we can then understand what we don't like about it and use our system to change the procedures to something that we think will create more honesty and fairness. So we just have to keep our eyes open on those things.
Yeah, absolutely. The other thing that bothers me, too, is this ID issue. I mean, I just pulled up something on my Facebook where it says valid IDs are required. DMVs, airports, hospitals, pharmacies, donating blood banks, gun shops, writing a check, adopting agency, Social Security office, pawn shops, jails, using a credit card, court, union elections, Eric Holder events, but not to vote.
Right, and we as an organization are very much in favor of voter ID requirements, and some states have them and some of us do not have them yet, and we believe that ultimately that is one of the very important ways in which we can make sure that only duly responsible legal citizens are casting the votes. But there's so much more to the process than all these big ticket items that you're mentioning. When you get down to, you know, the very, very small local levels, there's a great deal that each individual can do just by volunteering a few hours in order to make a very, very big difference. You know, people want to talk about the really big, juicy, sexy topics like election fraud and things like that, and certainly that's out there. But what about the errors that happen simply because there are holes in the laws that allow certain things to sneak through? Or the fact that this is a process where there are thousands of humans involved in it, and all of us, being human, are fallible, and we make mistakes, and we get careless, and we get tired, or we have kind of an agenda inside our own head that we might not even be aware of. And so all of these things, all of these small things that can add up to big differences in the election take place at that level. And so the citizen oversight process that we have is going to help with that. One of our biggest pushes now in the election cycle is getting people to volunteer to be poll observers. And these are people who have a legal right to do this. We train them so that they know the law, they know what they're looking for, and they know what they can and cannot do in the polls. And then they go out and they staff the polls by simply standing there or sitting there and observing the process. And as long as everything's going fine, nothing is said. If there are any things that are happening that maybe are a violation of the processes because someone has misremembered or made a mistake or got in a hurry and just kind of, you know, got careless, then we can quietly mention that to the precinct inspectors, and then they can handle the situation. And, of course, we also set up a hotline so that if we're not getting the cooperation that we should get, then we can alert the registrar of voters. And I know that here in our county, I'm in San Diego County, and in our county, our registrar was extremely responsive to anything that we brought to their attention. They immediately righted the wrongs that we were bringing to their attention. But that's what makes such a big difference, is citizens watching, citizens going into the registrar of voters and being part of the vote count, citizens watching that signature verification that they do to make sure that each ballot coming in, the vote-by-mail ballots and the provisional ballots, are actually coming from the person that who has signed the outside. Those kinds of things that we can oversee, and just being there, I think, puts more accountability on the person doing the process, just because they're aware that they're being looked at. Kind of like when you're driving down the freeway and suddenly you see a police car behind you, you get to be a little bit more responsible driver at that point. Well, the same thing is true with any part of the election process, that when they know that someone else is watching, then, you know, they're just going to be a little more alert and on their toes, and then things are being done more properly.
Well, and
at the same time, we can start to see the things that we think maybe need to be addressed by state legislators and also by the national legislature to kind of close the holes that invite some of these more egregious wrongs to be happening in the electoral process.
And, you know, I do have to say that in our county with that with the situation that I indicated, it was amazing how when the spotlight was put on the county registrar's office, how quickly they responded to us.
Absolutely.
And I really do, and I have to thank the small group of citizens that went in and made them accountable and alerted the media, because I guarantee you that's not going to happen in November. And on that note, we're going to take a quick break because we're coming up with a hard one at 9 o'clock. We will be back in 2 minutes.
One, two, three.
You're listening to We the People on AM 1460 KCNR.
Join the conversation in our chat room, KCNR1460.com.
Still you wonder who's cheating who, and who's being true, who don't even care anymore. It makes you wonder who's doing right by someone tonight, and whose car is parked next door.
Another great selection, Bob, and who's that?
That's the original version of that song from Charlie McLean.
Nice. Who's cheating who? Hey, so Ruth, before we go to our hard break at the top of the hour, tell us real quickly exactly what local communities can do in conjunction with your project. I mean, what can you do for us in Shasta County, for instance?
Yes. Well, anyone in California can go to our website, which is electionintegrityproject.com, and then click on the Get Involved button, and each of the counties will come up as a separate link, and they can click on the county in which they live, and then they will be connected to the person who is the coordinator for that county, and they can say, hey, I want to get involved, or I want more information about how I can be involved, and they'll get in touch with the organization within their own county. And then there are many, many things that they can help us with. We do all kinds of different things relevant to making sure that the elections are honest and fair. And right now, of course, we're eager to have people step up and say, I'll work the polls. I will go and volunteer at the county level, and I will work the polls, because the more we can get really educated people out there, and of course, when we have people through EIP that decide to work the polls, then we ask them to come to our training as well as the county training so that they're really very, very educated as to what their job is and why that's their job. And so that will help us out, too. We ask people who maybe aren't able or don't really want to go quite that far to say, okay, then I will be a poll observer for a portion of the day or maybe all the day. And that will also give us people out there with eyes on the process. We need people to say, I will volunteer to go a couple of hours a week or whatever you have to spare to the registrar's office, and I will volunteer as part of the team that's overseeing the signature verification process or the voting process. So going in and giving what spare time you can to volunteer and be part of the process and be those educated eyes on that, that's one thing that people can do. The other thing I would like to emphasize is that it's very important that voters themselves, even if they're not volunteering at all, that the voters be very aware of their rights and their privileges and their responsibilities and some of the things that might go over their heads. And I'm hoping maybe next hour we can talk about some of the things that voters need to understand that are putting their vote at risk when they don't even realize they're doing it.
Okay, and so when we do come back from the hard break, I'm going to let you go any direction you want. And you and I had talked about a lot of the things that the June 5th primary revealed, and that would be really interesting to touch on as well. Do all the counties in California have coordinators?
Not yet. Okay. We are working to expand throughout California, but we do have about 73% of California citizens living in a county that does have an EIP organization. So we're getting there very quickly.
Okay. And would you say that most, I mean, let's face it, California has, you know, quickly become a one-party state for all intents and purposes. Would you find that these different organizations in these different counties and the Integrity Project statewide is bipartisan?
It's absolutely bipartisan. We're very careful about that because we know that there are people of all different political persuasions who still want fairness and honesty, who still believe in the system the way the Founding Fathers set it up, and who believe in our basic right to choose our own representatives, and that anything that threatens that system takes that right away from us. So we are completely bipartisan. We're not without a political perspective in that we do believe that the Constitution and the rule of law should be followed. But other than that, yes, we welcome anyone who wants to make sure that the electoral process is fair and honest.
Okay. So we've built the foundation. We've got the structure. So when we come back, let's get into the meat of how this affects voters, what they need to know, and what elections reveal. And it would be nice to talk a little bit about the California codes, if you can touch on that a little bit. And anything that we can tell our voters out there to help them understand the process in November, because this is going to be a make-or-break election. Correct, guys?
Absolutely.
Hey, we're coming up on a hard break, folks. 5 minutes, grab your coffee. We're going to thank our advertisers. You are listening to We the People Radio on KCNR 1460, Free Fire Media.
Hour number two of We the People follows after the news here at KCNR Shasta Redding.
The views and opinions of shows on KCNR are those of the hosts, guests, and callers only, and do not necessarily reflect those of the staff, management, or advertisers of KCNR Radio.
We are back. Hour two of We the People Radio. It is Sunday, as it always is, when we meet. And for those of you that are on your way to church or are actually at church, I really encourage you to listen to the archives of this show. Super easy to access. WeThePeopleRadio.us. All the shows are archived. That page is well maintained by our great friend Robert Exter, and you can click on any link from any show that we have done in the almost 2 years that we've been on the air and find out everything you need to know. Everything that we talk about is applicable to anyone, anywhere. And today, you are joining Elizabeth Woodward, Bob Martin and Mark Kent from Sovereign Minds, which airs at 8 a.m. every Saturday on KCNR. And our great friend Aaron Ryan is on assignment attending a Tea Party Patriots convention in Denver, Colorado, where they are hard at work, knuckles to the grindstone, working great things in Denver to bring back to the rest of us nationwide. So great team effort on everybody's part, and that includes our guest today, Ruth Weiss from the Election Integrity Project. And if you are just tuning in, you can go to electionintegrityproject.com and find out everything you need to know about how to get involved in the election process at your local level. And we spent the first hour of the show building a foundation as to the importance of this particular project, which in effect is in 33 states across the country. And now that we've built our foundation, Ruth is going to take us a little further, and she's going to talk about the June primaries and all the information that was learned from that particular election, and things that voters need to know when they go to the polls, even if they're not actively volunteering. So, Ruth, we're back. Take it away.
Well, thank you very much. I wanted to make sure that voters understand a couple of things. In California, we do not have a statewide database of voters. In 2002, the Help America Vote Act, known as HAVA, was passed, and that required that states create that database. And 10 years later, California is now the only state in the nation that has not completed that process. And we've been aided and abetted by having waivers and forgiveness given to us by the Department of Justice. But the bottom line is that we at Election Integrity Project find that 10 years should have been plenty adequate to create that database. And the fact that we don't have that database makes it much more difficult to determine if we have voters who are registered in more than one county in the state, for example. And so we could be having duplicate voters that would be caught if we had that statewide database. So we're still working on trying to make sure that the state gets into compliance with that HAVA law. But voters themselves need to recognize that they should, on a regular basis, check their registration. Usually you can go to the website of the Registrar of Voters in your county, and there's a link you can click on that says Check My Registration. It will let you know how you're registered, what party you're registered under, because we did have people in this election show up because in a primary, of course, your party matters, and they showed up asking for the ballot of a particular party, and they were informed that that wasn't the party under which they were registered. And there was some consternation on the part of some voters saying, well, I know that this is the party I'm registered under, but somehow their registration had either been changed by them without remembering it, or, you know, there could have been a glitch in the system or some other reason why their party was then, you know, not registered the way they had remembered. And if that happens, then that disenfranchises you to vote, you know, for the people you want to vote for in your primary if you're not allowed to get the ballot of your party. So voters need to go in ahead of time. They need to check to see what party they're registered with, although that won't matter in November. They also need to check to see whether they're registered as a vote-by-mail person or someone who votes in person. We have a very large movement toward vote-by-mail in California. The California Secretary of State and most of the registrars believe that they would, you know, like all of us to vote by mail. I would like voters to think about that a little bit. There are some real problems they may not be aware of. In the first place, if you're voting by mail, you are giving someone else over whom you have no control the right to decide whether your ballot counts or not, because that ballot goes in and goes through all kinds of different hands and different checking stations before they even decide, okay, this is a legitimate ballot, we can open it and count it. And I think that voters who don't have to vote by mail should really think about that process a little bit. California is one of, I believe, 18 states that allow people to vote by mail just because they want to. The other states, you have to show a reason why you need an absentee ballot. But in California and a few other states, you can just do it because you think maybe it's easier or whatever. But you put your vote at risk when you do that, and I want people to just think about some of that risk. It's not a secret ballot. What we consider to be the cornerstone of our democratic process is being able to vote in secret so there can't be any coercion of our vote. And yet, if you vote by mail, your name is on that ballot. And that opens you up to all kinds of problems. We also know that oftentimes people don't get the ballot in the mail, that somehow it gets lost or waylaid in some way. And we did have quite a number of people showing up at the polls and saying, I want to vote in person because I lost my ballot or because I never received my ballot. Now, we know some of those people probably did receive it and, you know, either got overlooked or buried or whatever, but there were enough people claiming that they never received their ballot to create a little bit of concern as to what's happening to those ballots that are not getting into the voters' hands. And so for that reason, vote by mail is one of the very tools of choice for people who want to commit election fraud, because it's very easy at anywhere along the process to someone else to usurp that ballot. And so you need to be careful about that. If you are voting by mail, make sure you get your ballot, make sure you know when they're getting mailed out, and if you don't get it at the appropriate time, don't wait until election day to report that. But keep in mind that not only are you not voting secretly and you are giving your ballot to an awful lot of people to make the decision for you whether that ballot gets counted, you're also, in many cases, voting early. And, you know, if you were on a jury, you certainly would not be allowed to go out for coffee until all the evidence was presented. And the same thing with voting. People should be aware that it's important not to vote early. And people are getting that message because we're having more and more and more vote-by-mail ballots turned in at the box on election day rather than being mailed in. So that's at least a good thing. Nevertheless, if you're going to go to the polls anyway, we recommend that you get off of that vote-by-mail list. If you're still on it, you can surrender your ballot on election day. Surrender it and get a regular same-day ballot and vote that way.
Well, and you know, a lot of
protected way to vote,
and a lot of information comes out at the last minute about some of the candidates.
Absolutely,
it really does, because the push is really hard at the end of a campaign season. So, you know, I would want to know everything
I
could know.
That's the time-honored tradition known as gotcha.
Yeah, and I can only speak from my standpoint, and this is more emotional than anything, but. You know, there's something about walking into a polling place and seeing all of the volunteers there and getting my ballot and going into the booth and voting in a free country and getting that little sticker that says I voted. You know, there's just something about that process that I take a lot of pride in.
You know, you are absolutely singing my song. I say it all the time. There is something about this communal aspect of everybody coming together, and you go to this little place. Oftentimes, it's just a little garage or some rec center, and you stand in this little rickety cardboard booth, and you do something that can change the course of your future and the nation's future. And it's just something that always gives me chills and goosebumps just to think about.
Well,
and for someone not recognizing that feeling, you know, because they've always just sat on their couch and filled out their ballot while they're watching reruns of some, you know, some silly show, you just don't have the same gravitas and the understanding of just how important and rare this privilege of voting is.
Absolutely.
In this country.
And when I walk into my polling place, which is in a church, I see the people volunteering there, and I know some of them personally, and they are of different political persuasions than I am.
Right.
But we're
right.
All there at the same time in the same place because we love our freedom and we want the ability to vote, regardless of how we are politically.
And that's a very rare, rare thing, and I'm really sad that so many people have relinquished that voluntarily just because they think it might be more convenient mm-hmm. to do something the other way. But that's why we're continuing to try to let voters know that there are some risks involved with voting by absentee, and also just this numbing of who we are as citizens and why our process is important when we can do it from our computer, when we can do it at home, we can throw it in the mail and not really know what happens with that down the line. That's very, very important.
We know
that absentee ballots can get lost. We know that the more we have especially turned in right at the last minute absentee ballots, the longer it takes for us to get election results, and of course that's very difficult too. Another situation that we have is with the provisional ballots, which, by the way, that's a great protection for voters. When that law was passed, it meant that you would not show up at the polls to find out you're not on the list because of some careless error or something like that, and then get disenfranchised. The provisional ballot is a great protection for that. However, we've seen the provisional ballots being used very casually and carelessly, and the numbers of provisional ballots being cast have just skyrocketed. And as a result, we feel that also threatens the integrity of the process because, again, if you're casting a provisional ballot, your name is on it. It is not a private secret ballot, and you are giving someone else in the system the ability to decide based on their judgment whether or not that vote will be opened and counted. Whereas if you vote in your own precinct on election day in person, none of that is at risk. You know your vote will go in and you know that your vote will count. But we found in June that I think it was exacerbated by the fact that precinct lines were redrawn and many people showed up to places where they had been voting their entire life only to find out they weren't on the list because the precinct lines had been redrawn and they were really supposed to be going somewhere else. What was disturbing, at least to us in San Diego County, I can't speak for the whole state, but in our county we found that in general the election boards did not make any effort to redirect the voter to his own precinct before offering a provisional ballot. And so voters were just given that provisional as a perfect panacea to the problem that they were in the wrong place. And that slowed down the counting process. It put their ballot at risk. And the other thing it does, which people don't think about, is that if you vote in another precinct by provisional ballot, your name in your own precinct is sitting there all day unvoted, which invites someone to go in and impersonate you, which you can do in a state that doesn't require ID. Someone else could go in and say, I'm this person, and vote in your name. If someone were to do that, which one of those ballots would count? The one that was cast in person. And your provisional then would, and you would be disenfranchised.
Okay, and we're going to go to a quick break because we're going to back up real quick. We're going to thank our advertisers, and I know when we come back, Mark Kent has a question for you.
Okay.
We'll be back in 2 minutes.
All right.
Here on We the People Radio, KCNR 1460.
Hotline is open on KCNR 1460, 530-605-4567.
Let's talk fraud. Mark?
Yeah, I have some questions here for Ruth. You know, I'm at the website, and I'm looking around, and I've got some headlines here. Philly election officials detail examples of voter fraud. Obama administration surrenders partially to voter dispute. Colorado Secretary Geisler found 85 potential illegal voters. And then the one that really strikes me here is dogs, dead people get elected dogs from nonprofit. And this is from Olympia, Washington. Now, well, in a couple of questions here. One is, how does a dead person or a dog vote in an election? And what are the penalties for voter fraud? Is it across the board? Is it state by state? And, you know, why aren't people being charged if there's this much fraud going on out there?
Oh, those are some really good questions. Fraud is a very difficult thing to prosecute because intent has to be proved. So even if someone has voted what we would say fraudulently, they can't prove that it was intentionally done that way. And so you don't see as much prosecution as maybe we would like to see. But on a daily basis, if you keep your eyes open, as you say, you're going to see more and more stories coming out that there are holes that allow that kind of thing in the process to take place. Every state has its own way to verify its voters. In California, a voter, in order to register, needs to register either by providing a California driver's license or a California ID number or the last four numbers of the Social Security. And that information then is checked through the Department of Motor Vehicles to make sure that those numbers match the names and the addresses.
Should we push for stronger, shouldn't we be pushing then for stronger sanctions or penalties against these people? And, you know, you say you go to intent. I do a lot of, I'm in the law as well, in other parts of it, and I understand intent and state of mind. But when a dog named Rosie votes, shouldn't somebody have being held responsible for that? Because if you're voting with your black lab, I'm saying the intent should be pretty good to prosecute somebody.
Well, someone definitely should be held responsible for those kinds of things, and if they can bring it back to finding out who was actually the perpetrator, who was the person who registered that dog with the intent of registering a dog, certainly that person would be prosecuted and held accountable. I'm not a person who can speak with any real strong knowledge about what the penalties are, but they are monetary, and sometimes they are jail time, depending on the judge and you know what the laws are. So yeah, there are people who on a daily basis do go to jail and do pay fines for some of the things they have done to create fraudulent situations.
And who would you report that to? If you, let's say that you went to the polling booth and you saw, you know, out and out voter fraud, who would you report that to? Who would be in charge of that?
The Secretary of State is responsible for. They have a voter fraud division. And they are responsible for maintaining that situation. The registrars of voters are not in the legal business. They are in the business of making sure we have a system in which people can vote and that it runs smoothly. But they are not responsible for detecting or prosecuting or reporting voter fraud. So that's up to whenever someone detects that, it goes through the Secretary of State.
Wow. That seems like maybe we need to get some watchdogs other than the Secretary of State or have somebody out at these polling places looking for voter fraud. I mean, that seems that would be the logical connection to make, because if this is rampant, and I get the feeling that it is across the country, I mean, we look at the example of the Black Panthers there in Philadelphia with voter intimidation, you know, not being prosecuted by the Department of Justice, Eric Holder and them, and it's a state-by-state process with the Secretary of State. You know, I'm wondering, you know, why don't we get some legislation passed to tighten this up? I mean, that would be the thing for, you know, from my perspective, that we need to do and actually prosecute some of these people involved in this and make the fines heavy and the sentences long. I mean, that seems to be the logical conclusion here. How would we do that? I mean, just start talking to our representatives?
Yeah, I think that would be a really terrific start. That's why the Election Integrity Project is many-pronged. It has a section that's working on the legal issues. They're the ones that are going to the legislators, both at the state and at the national level, discussing these situations. And yes, the more that this becomes something of which the public is aware, the more pressure that can come to bear to say, look, let's hold people accountable for these things. And that goes back again to the informed electorate, and which is one of our major focuses as an educational organization. We want to make sure that voters get educated as to what's going on out there and what there is in the legal situation that allows that to occur, so that people, because only people can make those changes. Pressure on the legislators will make those changes. And the first step is for people to become aware of all that's going on.
Well, and you know, and that is part of where we're all at right now, no matter what battle we're fighting, is because we got behind the eight ball on the erosion of our rights. We're back to an educational process. We have to first get people to wake up. Then we have to teach them what they need to know, you know, give them the tools they need to go forward and fight the battle. Now, you talked about a lot of information that was derived from the June primaries. Beyond the absentee ballot issue, what else came to the surface?
Well, I think for me, one of the things that came to the surface is that the Registrar of Voters is having to recruit a large number of volunteers. As you mentioned, the majority of the election places are staffed by people who have been kind enough and civic-minded enough to step forward and say, I'll volunteer for a day. And they get a minor pittance of pay, but mostly they're doing it out of a sense of patriotism. But in our county, for example, there's probably 4,000 plus people. And so quality control is very difficult. We don't have no idea how you can make sure every single one of those people is as educated as they should be. And what we know is that because of the pressure to staff those polls, they don't necessarily require that those people go through the training. In other words, if a person volunteers and is put at a polling place and then it's discovered that they did not do the training through the county, that does not disqualify them from working the polls. And then that would mean that you have a person out there who has good intentions but doesn't know what they're doing, quite honestly. And so it's very difficult to for them to be able to say, I'm sorry you didn't go through the training, you're out, unless we have enough other people volunteering and stepping forward and going through the training so that they know that they can replace those people with someone else standing in the wings who is trained. So we need people to step forward and be involved and say, we'll work the polls. In some cases, we can say, look, we'll work them for free if that, you know, if that's what's going to help you here. We want to make sure that educated people who know the election code and know what the procedures are get there and are the ones that are handling the situation.
So how much fraud is there at the local level at the polling places?
I honestly can't speak to that.
Okay.
This is the very first time, as far as I'm aware, in the history of California that there has been an organized effort to observe the process at all levels. And so we just got into that in the last primary. And so we're still processing the reports that came in. We're still processing what we learned. And quite honestly, it's not that fraud is at the point of our focus. What we are focusing on is anything that threatens the integrity of the process. And quite frankly, it's more carelessness and ignorance than it is anything else out there on the part of voters, on the part of the election board, so that things happen that threaten the integrity of the vote without anybody necessarily going in there with evil intent. So I really can't give you, and people want statistics, they want to know how much fraud is out there, and we don't have that information, and we can't allege anything that, you know, all we can say is that obviously no system is perfect, and we need to keep an eye on it to make sure that we cut down the openings for all of those things to occur.
And there's a question on the chat room regarding some of the convalescent homes where some of our elderly live, and there seems to be a trend. In San Diego in 2010, there were anecdotal accounts of groups providing food baskets to elderly for a signed blank absentee ballot. Does that ring true?
Well, yes, it does ring true. That is a vulnerable population, and I know that one of the precincts that we observed at a place of that nature, we did have people who were being assisted inappropriately, illegally, to cast their ballot, and we also had people overlooking the. In other words, it wasn't a secret ballot. They had people who had not requested assistance who were still being observed and were being their ballot choices were being commented on. So it's a vulnerable population there, and we know that you know, sometimes we have people who go into those nursing facilities and they go in to assist the voters, and we need to have eyes on that process to make sure that those people aren't overzealously maybe assisting them in a way that they shouldn't. We need to keep an eye on the absentee ballots and how they're turned in, because if people are filling out large numbers of absentee ballots for these other people, then, you know, that's wrong. You're disenfranchising those people. So it's just one of the many places that we need to have volunteers going and observing those processes to make sure that they're being done legally.
Well, on that note, got to take another break. Those sure come up pretty often, don't we? We're going to thank our advertisers. Grab another cup of Joe. We'll be back.
And you're listening to We the People Radio on AM 1460, KCNR, the home of Free Fire Media.
This is KCNR, the home of Free Fire Media.
Building me a home, thinking I'd be strong there, but I was a fool, laying by the rules. The gods may throw a dice, their minds as cold as ice, and someone
We are talking to Ruth Weiss of the Election Integrity Project. We're wrapping up our second hour. We're talking about the integrity of the election process and everything you need to know as a voter. And Ruth, I wanted to say that your website, electionintegrityproject.com, is actually very user-friendly. If you go to the, this is kind of interesting, if you go to the California Elections Code Q&A, there's all kinds of stuff on there for any citizen that has just some really basic questions, such as what is the deadline to register to vote? How do I know if I'm registered to vote? How do I change my current voter registration information? And if you click on any one of those links, the explanation, the answer to your question just kind of pops up underneath. That's a great link.
Yes, it's a wonderful link. It's a great website, and I might also encourage people when they go on the website to sign up to receive our email newsletter, because that way they'll become on a regular basis informed of things that are going on nationwide relevant to electoral process and that kind of thing. So it, you know, they can just sign up and they'll get the e-newsletter as well.
I also know that you've got a spot on the website where you can volunteer for each county, and I don't think, do we have anything going here in Shasta County at this point as far as volunteers?
Now, I know that obviously there's a large group of folks from the Tea Party organization here in Shasta County that are pulling together and have committed to working the polls this November.
Excellent.
Yeah. And we definitely are going to encourage them. We may be the Shasta County coordinators by the time this thing is done for the Election Integrity Project, because
we need people in each county to step up and say we'll be the leadership in this county. They'll get plenty of help from the people who have been doing this now from the very beginning, and they will be mentored through the process. But we do need people who will step up and say, I have the time to be a coordinator. I have the time to be the registrar of voters. Voters liaison. We see ourselves, and we try to establish a wonderful rapport with our registrars, because we are there to help. We are certainly not there to beleaguer or to criticize. We believe that they do an amazing job, and we are there to help them with the process and the things that they simply don't have the time or the personnel to do. And so we want to see ourselves, and we want the registrars to see us as a group that is in there to help them to meet the goals which they have, which is to have a fair and honest election.
And that is that's the approach that we have tried to take, even though, you know, we did put a spotlight on them a little bit for
right.
failing to get the military ballots out on time. And that's another thing I want to kind of bring up. What's the story behind this, what appears to be possibly a statewide effort to not get the military ballots out in time for our military overseas to cast a ballot?
Well, I can't make any comment about what might be the problem there, whether it's just simply that it's down on the priority list or what the reason is. I know that in 2010 we had such an enormous problem in Florida with that it became national news and it became something that people were really focused on. And so people are trying to hold every state more accountable to get those military ballots out. And so the report did come out that lots of places in California were late in doing that. Now, San Diego County was one day late, so it wasn't like the end of the world, but we just need to talk to them registrar by registrar and say what prevented this deadline from being met and what can we do to make sure it is always met from here on out. And
well,
again, citizen involvement is the key.
Absolutely, and the military should never be low on the priority list. I mean, that's just wrong. You know, they're fighting for us over there, so we need to fight for them on American soil. And, you know, no matter who we talk to or what the issue is, it always comes back to local. That's where the biggest changes can occur. And I know that we all get a little bit sidetracked by national issues that drive our emotions and our energy, but sometimes you can't really do much at the federal level, but you sure can impact a change at the local level. And that is where government policies and rules and regulations are implemented. It's always done
at the
local level.
Right.
So stay local.
All government basically is local, and just because you can't make a difference at a national level by, you know, being a bigwig at the national level, everything you can do to be involved, get out there and run for office. That's another big push that is, you know, people are neglecting, the fact that we always want to leave it to someone else. You know, be part of the process, and if that means running for your water board, your school board, your fire board, run for these local offices so that you really can see how the system works and so that you really can get back into this government by the people. And we want to make sure that every single citizen has a right to vote, that they can cast that vote, and that vote can be counted accurately. And that's really important. But there are a lot of things that we need to educate people about in order to protect their vote and make sure that their vote counts.
We've got a caller on the line that wanted to jump in. Dawn, are you there?
I'm here.
What's your question for our guest?
I just have a comment to make. You know, my dog is very, very smart. I wish he could vote. He's probably vote better than some of the people who do vote.
And that is your contribution to the conversation today, Don?
Yeah, I'm on my meds, so it's a better contribution.
Well, thanks for calling. We'll get back to our guest. So, Ruth, how many people do we have involved in the Integrity Project in California?
Well, I don't have the statewide numbers, but
okay.
We have large numbers of volunteers in the counties who were on board and active, and it's growing on a daily basis. The coordinators and other spokespeople from each county will be very, very happy to be contacted, and we'll go out and we will make presentations to any group that invites us. And that allows us to bring more people into the fold, more people that understand why we need to be involved. So if there are any listeners out there who are involved in any kind of organization that likes to have community involvement speakers come in and inform people of situations, we would love to be contacted and we would love to be invited to speak at your group so that we can continue educating you and continue to develop. We have in San Diego County a team of about 350 active people who are doing something with regard to the Election Integrity Project. And some of them are doing clerical work. Many of them are helping us to help the Registrar of Voters to go through the voter rolls and to find those duplicate voters and to find those people who are deceased so that we can clean those voter rolls and be in compliance with that law. We have other people who are same-day volunteers on Election Day. And so all of these different things that we do, we have a growing number of people in each county. And the more we can get on board, the more we can accomplish.
So, Ruth, it sounds like maybe we can get you up here to the Reading Tea Party and get on our venue for a speaker.
Well, absolutely. If you will contact either me or just contact Linda Payne through the Election Integrity website, we will make sure that you get someone up there to speak to you and to get you started.
And I'm curious, do you ever come into communities and actually sit down with Integrity Project volunteers and their own county registrars?
Linda Payne is the president of the Election Integrity Project, and she goes in a lot of counties, and she works with the people there and helps them set up their teams. And but the liaison between the Registrar of Voters and the Election Integrity Project is a local thing where we have a particular person designated as the Registrar liaison, and everything we do with the Registrar goes through that person, so we're not bombarding
sure.
the Registrar with all kinds of people.
Absolutely.
But any assistance that any people would want from the Election Integrity Project in order to set up an organization in your area, we would be happy to give.
Great. Now, so is this model pretty identical to the others across the country?
It's very, very similar, yes. It's about the only way you can really do it. You have to break down into county situations. And in large mm-hmm. counties, such as Los Angeles, we break that up into about 8 different areas because it's enormous otherwise.
Sure.
So we work with small organizations, and then we kind of coordinate. And I'm assuming the other states are having to do very similar things.
And real quickly, there's a rumor out there that at the national level that there is a Spanish company that has been subcontracted to count the ballots in the November 2012 election. Do you know anything about that?
Yes, I do. That is very inaccurate.
Okay, that's good to know.
Yeah,
now let's clear up misconceptions on the air.
Yeah, the Spanish company, Seidel, did purchase the rights to the organization in Florida, but they have nothing to do. The votes are not sent anywhere to be counted. All votes are counted locally within the county. This company provides software for storage of statistics after they're taken. So there isn't any concern that votes are going to be sent to Spain to be counted. That's all very much not correct.
That would totally be bizarre anyway.
Yes.
And you know that you'd be hearing it at the local level from your own county registrar if that were to happen, because their
Correct.
Job would be eliminated, basically.
Exactly. No, votes are counted very, very locally, and in some cases, I know in Alameda County, for example, the votes are actually counted at the precinct as they're submitted. So that's the other thing, too. Every county has its own processes that are different, so we don't even have unanimity within the state in terms of how these things happen. So you really have to work county by county.
Yeah, you do.
To take a look at the policies and procedures and then connect them to the election code and make sure that everything is being done legally.
You know, in our county, after we spoke with our county registrar about the military ballots going out late, they did come speak to us as a group and indicated that the technological requirements and abilities do vary from county to county. So
that is exactly true.
It just keeps going back to local. Hey, so
yes.
we're gonna take this opportunity to take our very last break to thank our advertisers, and when we return, Ruth, you just wrap this up any way you want. You are listening
right,
to We the People
you.
Radio on KCNR 1460, the home of Free Fire Media.
They say winners and losers are two of a kind, you know it's that way. They say winners and losers are two of a kind, you know it's that way.
Join the conversation in our chat room, KCNR1460.com.
wonder who's cheating who, who's being true, who don't even care anymore. It makes you wonder who's doing right with someone tonight and whose car is parked next door.
And we're back. Last 10 minutes of We the People Radio.
I think we had the original version of that last hour.
You know, I thought that was the same
song.
But
we had to play the Alan Jackson version because he's scheduled to perform here tonight at the Jukebox Festival.
Nice.
I say scheduled because he had to cancel his concert in L.A. on Friday night because of a sinus infection. So hopefully he's going to be up to performing tonight.
Yeah,
great. Way down yonder in the Chattahoochee.
It's probably where he picked it up, yes.
Yeah.
So we're going to wrap it up here. We're going to be talking about everything related to being a voter and a responsible citizen and an active participant in the integrity of the process. So, Ruth, I know you have no crystal ball.
Yeah. Could I share something?
Oh, sure,
one of
bet.
Our listeners, our regulars, Gary from Reading, wanted to, and Ruth, you may already be aware of this, but it's on the judicialwatch.org website. Gary says they are preparing a massive, they're preparing a lawsuit against Acorn in Oakland, that they're anticipating massive voter fraud there. Had you heard that story?
Yes, I had. Judicial Watch has created an election integrity project not connected to ours. They just serendipitously picked the same name that we did. But they are trying to hold states accountable to the law, to clean their voter rolls, and to do other things to prevent fraud and error. And that's one of the things they're doing. They're also preparing a lawsuit. I believe it's against the state of Indiana because they have not done what they're supposed to do to try to clean their voter rolls under Section 8 of the Registration Act. So, they're very active in trying to look after the integrity of a process nationwide.
Well, and the beauty of that is that there are so many organizations, and that's why we love the venue of this show, because there are so many groups and organizations that are getting involved and stepping up, and we're all on the side. You know, we're all on the same side, regardless of how you end up voting at the polls. We all want the truth, and we all want it to be honest.
Exactly.
So, no crystal ball, I know, but what do you foresee for the November 2012 elections and turnout and accuracy?
Well, we are hearing from a lot of registrars that in California that they are anticipating up to 80% turnout. They think it's going to be a very, very big election, and so they're gearing up to have a lot of people to deal with, and that makes the observation process even more important, mm-hmm. because when the polls are inundated with a lot of voters at the same time, and you know how people can be impatient, it puts a lot of pressure on the people working the polls, and that's when they can get more careless or make more shortcuts or just make mistakes. And that's why people need to be there observing the process and making sure that every single vote is processed in a way that it can be protected and counted. There are a lot of things before the election that voters can do to make sure their vote is going to count. First of all, make sure you're registered. And you can do that online. Find out how you're registered. Find out what party you're registered under, although that will not make a difference in this election, but it will in the future one. And before this and every election, go on and make sure that you are listed. Make sure that your registration is up to date. We recommend, too, that people go into their registrar's office and ask to see the signature that is on file for them. Because if you think about it, how many years ago did you register to vote, mm-hmm. and has your signature changed since then? And you want to make sure that if you come up with an eventuality that you're a victim of some sort of clerical error and you have to cast a provisional ballot, you want to make sure that the signature you provide on Election Day matches the signature they have on file so your vote does not get thrown out. So you want to go in, you want to update your signature if you haven't done that in a really long time. Ask to see your affidavit. It's the voter's responsibility to make sure, voter by voter, that you are in the system correctly, and so that then when it's time to cast your ballot, it will count. Again, I would like to encourage people to consider getting off of the vote by mail list if they possibly can.
And Ruth,
vote in person.
And Ruth, real quickly, we should remind people that if you've moved, if you've turned 18, I mean, there's a variety of personal circumstances that would necessitate you registering to vote again. You've gotten married, you've gotten divorced. So any life change is going to require that you do it again.
Absolutely correct. Yes, you want to update your registration, make sure that it's accurate, make sure that it reflects where you live now. All of that needs to be updated so that when you go in to vote, your vote will count. And that's really our message there. And then if you can step forward and be part of our team and to observe the polls or work at the polls or observe the signature verification process, help with the vote count with the registrar of voters, all of that is a way that you can make sure your vote and every other legally cast ballot will count.
And again, contact information for you?
Hello.
All right. You can contact me personally if you're interested in San Diego County at ruth@electionintegrityproject.com. To contact someone in your area for our project, you can go to our website, electionintegrityproject.com, and click the volunteer button and then click on your county, and you will be then sent to the person who deals with this in your county, and you will be contacted.
And if you're
not in California, you can go through truthevote.com, and they can direct you. You can fill out their form, and they can direct you to where to go in your state to get connected.
And use your social media. If you are a Facebook fan, go there and like it.
Yeah, please do that, and please spread the word. Let people know we're available to help. We're available to speak to your groups. We're available to get you involved in the process, and just continue to spread that word out there, and do send people to the website, because there's a lot of information there that voters can benefit from.
Ruth, one of our callers, Frank Rose, wanted me to ask you, one of our network hosts here, Michael Savage, had said a while back that there's a company in Spain that's been contracted to count the votes combine them and compile them this November. The company reportedly funded by George Soros. Had you heard that? Do you have any comment on it?
Yeah, I addressed that a few minutes ago, and it's inaccurate. That is not accurate. That company did buy out a company that's based in Orlando, and that company primarily creates the materials that registrars of voters use in order to train their people on the election code and how to be election workers. But votes are counted locally. They're not sent somewhere else to be counted.
Do you know, Ruth, if that company is owned by George Soros, though? That would be a big question for me.
I do not know that. I have worked with my congressman to try to get as much answer as I could on that situation, and what he and his staff have been able to uncover, it leads to the fact that they cannot verify any of that information.
Okay.
And that's as much as I know, that my congressman has really tried to work on this for me and said, we can't verify any of that.
Okay, we've got about a minute to wrap this up. I do want to thank you, Ruth, very much for coming on. And I suspect that we will be talking again as things change, especially as we get closer to the November election. Love to have you jump in and update us on any progress that we're making at the state level specifically. And the national level would be great. I want to thank Mark Kent from Sovereign Minds Radio.
Well, thank you very much for having me. It was a great day as usual, and we had a lot of fun.
Who do you have on next week?
I have no idea.
Okay.
Quickly, Susan from the same project calling from the Bay Area wanted us to remind that people can donate to this project as well as
volunteer
for it.
Yes, and there's a great donate button at the right-hand top corner of the website
page. Absolutely. That was my last little point, that we operate all on donation. We don't have any big backers. No one working in the project takes any money for anything that we do.
Sounds like us, Ruth. We're all grassroots. We're all fighting the battle together.
Absolutely.
We want to thank you so much.
Any donations are very, very well received.
Okay, thanks, Ruth Weiss from the Election Integrity Project. Thank you, Bob Martin, Mark Kent, from all of us at We the People Radio. We'll see you.